This podcast was recorded Thursday, March 14th at 10:45 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this. Like Governor DeWine will ask schools to ban kids passing notes in class, as well as ban cell phones. Remember those passing note days? Old school text messages, you could call them. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollygosters, those shrewd politicians looking for any last-minute advantage in the final days before an election. I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up in the podcast, our Snollygoster of the Week annoys fans of a certain New York City football team. But first, suddenly Matt Dolan has become the center of attention in the Republican U.S. Senate primary here in Ohio. In January, an Emerson College poll found the state senator was in third place, trailing Secretary of State Frank LaRose and Cleveland businessman Bernie Marino. This week, that same poll shows Dolan has jumped 10 points and now technically leads the race. The poll has Dolan at 26%, Marino at 23%, and LaRose at 16%. With just a few days until Election Day, nearly a third of registered Republican voters in this poll remain undecided. The poll illustrates the other two candidates' increased interest in Matt Dolan. Suddenly, the relatively mild-mannered, Trump-averse candidate is the subject of negative ads and press release attacks from Marino and LaRose. And it comes as Dolan received a key endorsement. Governor Mike DeWine says Dolan is his pick for U.S. Senate. DeWine earlier said he would not make an endorsement in this race. We note that the latest Emerson poll was completed before DeWine made his endorsement. Joining us to discuss this now very tight U.S. Senate primary is Ohio State House News Bureau Chief Karen Kassler. Karen, welcome back to Snollygoster.
Hey, great to talk to you.
What is going on? What is the thinking with Matt Dolan's, I guess you have to call it a surge? Is it real?
Well, I'd say, first of all, the candidate that's leading in this poll is undecided, because 32% of voters said that they are undecided at this point. That's a third. And these are registered voters, not likely yes. voters, too. That's another important distinction. But I think that's really interesting here. You've got $30 million in ad spending in this race, and 32% are still undecided as of not that long before Election Day. I think that's pretty extraordinary at this point. But Matt Dolan, you called him Trump-averse. And when I sat down with him for our TV show, The State of Ohio, I asked him about the idea that he had been seen as an alternative to Trump. But he made it clear that he supports Trump's policies. He's not opposed to Trump. He's just not super Trumpy, and, yes. and certainly didn't get the Trump endorsement like Bernie Marino did. And Frank LaRose certainly was pushing hard for that. I think maybe Dolan is looking to some as an alternative to Frank LaRose and Bernie Marino. Marino and LaRose are certainly potentially splitting the very strongly Trump vote. I think it's anybody's race at this point, with a third of voters saying they are undecided.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that, I always wondered if that was going to happen, if Marino and LaRose were to split that far right vote. Marino has the endorsement and LaRose, but LaRose has been sort of, you know, hinting that he's fully a MAGA Trump Republican and things like that. You wonder if those two would balance themselves out.
And I would say LaRose has not been hinting. He's been really yes. straightforward about his support for Trump. And when I sat down with all three of the candidates for our show, I specifically asked them about how they felt about Trump, if they would still endorse or if they would still vote for Trump if he were convicted, you know, given that Trump's been repeatedly indicted on felony charges and said Russia can do whatever the hell they want if, yeah. with NATO countries that don't meet the spending guidelines, things like this that you would think could potentially be a problem for people who support Trump, but it's not.
Yeah. Now, Marino still has that Trump endorsement. And I just wonder if it is worth as much as it was when J.D. Vance got it 2 years ago. Vance had four competitors. Marino only has two. So that's you need more votes if you have fewer competitors. Vance had better name recognition than Marino has. He wrote that best-selling memoir. He had been all over TV in the 2016 election. So you wonder if the Trump endorsement is not having as much of an effect for Marino as it is for as it had for J.D. Vance.
Well, he's certainly banking on it. I mean, he's campaigning with Vance and Trump this weekend. Vance is joining him Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And then Trump is doing a rally in Dayton on Saturday that Marino is backing. So he's certainly pushing hard on that Trump endorsement. And I mean, that's most of his ads. That's the billboards that you see around. It's him and former President Trump. And Marino's making it very clear that he has the Trump endorsement. Whether that means as much as it did a couple years ago, I don't know. I mean, in a seven-way race, I think it was enough to really push Vance, who did have some name recognition, you're right, up to the top. But it still didn't hurt Matt Dolan, for instance. He came in third in 2022 in that seven-way primary. And again, trying to carve out a lane for himself as less Trumpy than the other guys.
And that was a surprise. He surged late in that primary. We didn't expect Mac Dolan to be, he basically tied for second in that race. And I don't think people saw that coming. And that was a pretty late surge in that primary as well.
Yeah. And I think this time the surge really does go back to the ads. I mean, the ad spending in this, already a ton of ads, you know, more than $30 million in TV and cable ads in this primary. And this is on track to be the most expensive U.S. Senate race in Ohio history. I mean, and that would top the 2022 U.S. Senate race between Tim Ryan and J.D. Vance. And I should say that Ryan way outraised J.D. Vance in terms of money, and then Vance ended up winning. So this has just been a really extraordinary set of circumstances here, I think. But in a way, not too surprising, because we always figured this was going to be a tough race. I mean, you've got two very wealthy guys in Dolan and Marino, and LaRose with name recognition coming off those two issue one votes last year, though he was on the losing side in both. This is quite a race.
Yeah, Trump is, as you mentioned, is coming to Ohio this weekend. Dayton, what do you make of his? I always look at where the rally is happening. All three of these guys are from Northeast Ohio. I think they're known up there. Marino certainly is known up there more than he is, say, in Southwest Ohio, in Dayton area. So the geography, obviously, I think the Marino campaign is targeting name ID and getting his name and the Trump endorsement before folks in Cincinnati and Dayton.
Right. And I think that that's where the ad spending has come in. I mean, I've heard people talk about how they're so sick of seeing all these ads. Well, get used to it, because that's what's going to be the rest of this year. I mean, even though Ohio is a solidly red state, you're still going to see a lot of ads in the presidential race, but you're really going to see a lot of ads in the Senate race, because Sherrod Brown, the incumbent Democrat, has done well with Republicans. He won in 2018 after Donald Trump had already been elected. So, you know, I think that the ads have really introduced and attempted to introduce Bernie Marino to people who didn't know who he was. And that was working for a time, but now you're seeing that Dolan, who's also been spending a ton on ads, and there have been a lot of outside groups that have been spending against all these guys too. This is the payoff here, I guess.
Yeah, it's just,
though I still have to admit, I'm just amazed that 32% of people are still undecided. That's really a huge number for this close to the election.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, this poll was registered voters, not likely voters. So you wonder if they're undecided, they're just going to stay home. You wonder if how many of those 32% aren't even going to bother. Because, you know, Trump, the presidential race is over. Trump secured the delegates he needs to win the nomination this past Tuesday. So this Ohio race for president does not matter for him or for Joe Biden. So,
right, exactly. And I think there will still, of course, be people who will be happy to go out and cast their vote for Trump because they want to show support for him in Ohio. But yeah, the race is it's over. And we're still trying to figure out what's going on with early voting. There's some confusing numbers coming out of the Secretary of State's office, but early voting seems to have been pretty brisk in a primary where you have this hotly contested U.S. Senate race and then the presidential contest. I mean, the Democrats haven't had a contest on this on the presidential side, and the Republicans is virtually done.
Yeah. You know, let's talk about Mike DeWine's endorsement. Back in January, I joked that Governor DeWine said he would not make an endorsement in the Republican U.S. primary, much to the relief of every candidate in the Republican U.S. primary. Well, suddenly Mike DeWine comes out right after Rob Portman did and says, Matt Dolan is my guy. And Matt Dolan didn't shy away from it. He issued a press release, you know, thanking the governor and fully embracing the governor. But Governor DeWine is not the most popular Republican among Trump supporters here in Ohio.
Yeah, but DeWine won re-election in 2022 in a landslide as governor. So he still has a fair amount of popularity. And I think he reaches those voters that Dolan's also trying to reach, the voters who may not be super Trumpy, but are conservative, who are Republican. And I think that that's the same group. And former Senator Rob Portman is kind of in that same category as well, though you could certainly push back on some of the things that Portman did when he was in the Senate that was very supportive of Trump. So you've got those two endorsements, those two big endorsements of DeWine and Portman for Dolan. And then on the other side with Marino, you've got the big endorsements of Trump and Vance. And then Frank LaRose really doesn't have any major party candidate endorsements. He's gotten a lot of endorsements from local and state elected leaders, but no big star celebrity kind of endorsements to brag about.
Can you imagine on next Wednesday, the headline is the DeWine endorsed Republican defeats the Trump endorsed Republican in Ohio? My guess is the DeWine administration would have some smiles after if that was the headline.
It's certainly, given that a lot of people point to the primary in 2022 when DeWine did only slightly better than his two opponents, Jim Renacci and Joe. Oh, I'm terrible at this. My memory's going. The other guy. But he still, again, won in a landslide. Yeah. And I think that, it will be interesting to see that potentially. I think there's a really good chance that it could be Dolan. There's a really good chance it could be Marino. My crystal ball doesn't work anymore and really never did. But I don't know that it's necessarily going to predict the way Ohio might go in November in terms of making any major changes. I think it's pretty clear that Ohio is strongly Republican in terms of statewide elections, and that's the way it's going
to
be.
Yeah, you have to figure that the Brown folks want to run against Marino. You know, he's still relatively unknown. He has, you know, he's got some money. It's going to be tight regardless. But Frank LaRose has won statewide twice. Matt Dolan is seen as the more, quote, moderate of the three. You have to figure they would probably prefer Marino, but who knows?
It's going
to
be tight. And well, it's interesting because the Democrats have actually put some money into the race there, as it's been termed on Twitter or X, meddling in the primary to boost Bernie Marino. So that certainly suggests that they would rather face Marino. I mean, Marino of the three is the only one who's not run for office, so he's not as tested in terms of debates and campaigning and all that stuff. But again, he has lots of money and he's got those key endorsements.
Yeah. And J.D. Vance showed you can be an outsider, quote, outsider, and do very well in Ohio. So just to wrap up, Karen, what are you looking for on Tuesday as the votes start to be counted?
Well, I'll be very interested to see what the early vote does look like once we know. I wish we had better numbers from the Secretary of State's office to really get a handle on how many people are using early voting, because there's these mixed messages coming out from Republicans about Ohio Republican Party's telling voters to bank their vote and go ahead and vote early. But then Donald Trump says early voting is bad and is problematic. So I would really love to see that in a primary situation where there will be a lot of Republican voters. It would be really interesting to see that. Other than that, you know, this U.S. Senate race is the key here. You've got, though, you've got House races where you can see some of that battle between Speaker Jason Stevens and Derek Marin, who tried to become Speaker, and Matt Huffman, the Senate president who wants to be Speaker. You've got all that going on. You've got a contested primary in the Ohio Supreme Court races on the Democratic side with a Democratic endorsed candidate running against a non-Democratic endorsed candidate. So it's going to be, it's crazy. It's a crazy election year.
Yeah. And it's really only just begun. I can't wait to hear what Donald Trump says in Dayton. It's like, he's going to say, I've won, but you should come out and vote anyway. And then he's going to spend all the time talking about himself and maybe mention Bernie Marino.
And that's been the way that Donald Trump has done these. I mean, you look back at the rally he did right after he endorsed Vance. And that was, I think he called Vance up for just a couple of minutes and then
said,
he
and said, this guy's kissing my ass. Remember that? He said, this guy's kissing my ass for months. that could be the way to win here in Ohio is to have that on your campaign slogan. Karen Kassler, bureau chief for the Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau and also Ohio Public Television, the state of Ohio, seen on many public TV stations around Ohio. Karen, thank you.
Hey, great to talk to you. Thanks.
We'll be right back.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment, where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the week. This week it goes to independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who apparently is narrowing his list of possible running mates. At or near the top of that list is New York Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Kennedy told reporters Rodgers and former Minnesota governor and former professional wrestler Jesse Ventura are on his short list. What the leak has done is annoyed Jets fans who found out that Rodgers, who was recovering from a ruptured Achilles tendon, has been hiking in the woods with Kennedy. Perhaps not the safest physical therapy for a injured Achilles tendon. Anyway, and it focused a lot of attention this week on Robert Kennedy's campaign, which is still barely registering in the polls. So that's pretty shrewd. So for floating the idea of picking a vaccine-averse future Hall of Fame quarterback as his running mate, John F. Kennedy Jr. gets our Snollygoster of the Week award. Methinks Aaron Rodgers will enjoy this speculation and attention for a couple of weeks and then get back to spring workouts with the New York Jets. That's just a hunch. Also, it's Joe Blystone. That's the name of Karen and I couldn't remember. Joe Blystone, the cowboy hat-wearing candidate who ran against Governor DeWine. That'll do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster, which is part of the NPR network. As always, please be sure to leave us a good review on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, and just tell your friends about us. For our student producer, Katie Genius, our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, and our audio engineer, Dalton Jones, I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.